Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our show is designed to provide our listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children. Listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experience to the Learning Lab. With that, I can introduce to you our host for the night show, Assalamu alaikum, Mark Shaheed.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbi alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sahala alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone. and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation. I'd like to greet our beloved radio listening audience with the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, and it becomes an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudin and Rashid Salam, of this production, The Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And as most of you know that tune in each and every Wednesday, our beloved Dr. Patricia Slaudin is absent, and I think that she's still in Saudi Arabia and also Medina, as we reported last week that she was making Umrah and spending some time with her daughter and also son-in-law. So we want to keep her in our duas, that she had a successful Umrah and a pleasant visit with her family there and a safe return. And inshallah, that means God willing, we'd be looking forward to her returning here to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. But never fear, Rashid Salam, he is here. So alhamdulillah. Well, we want those of you to know that you're tuning in for the first time, or you've been tuning in all along, that we welcome you to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we want you to know that this is your learning lab. So we ask you to bring questions and comments to the lab, and anything that Rashid Salam or myself may say tonight, tonight's production, we would like to hear from you. We love questions, and we love comments, any addendums that you'd like to make. And even if the information that you receive tonight is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you. And Rashid and I, we're very much aware that many tune in and listen to IWDM Radio and our productions by way of the Internet. Well, Rashid and myself, we'd love to hear from you too tonight. And for you to do that, you do have to call into the studio. And the studio number to IWDM Radio is 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And press 1. And Rashid, doubling as an engineer tonight, he will acknowledge you and inform me that you have your hand up, you want to ask a question, or you want to make a comment. We want you to know that this learning lab has a foundation, and we utilize three sources to form the foundation for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The first foundation is Al-Quran. The Quran is the final revelation that Allah has given to all of humanity. And the second source that we use is the life example of the prophet in demonstrating and living the Quran. And the third source is the tafsir, the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad. These are the three sources that form the foundation for this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and also for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And so we also have established some staples since the year of 2017, the end of January 2017, here on IWDM Radio and our sister station, AM 360, where it all began, for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And the first thing that we did was give a simplistic but a very profound definition when it came to parenting. We simply say that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and a big, big responsibility, and not only for the mother, but also for the father. So we want to dismiss that misnomer, misconception and perception. This is a role and responsibility of both parents. As we use the acronym family, it's father and mother in inevitably loving you. Also, another staple that we have established is both the role and responsibility of both parents to raise their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, their family, their community, and for human society at large. And we say, inshallah, that they can and will become world leaders if, in fact, that we have conscientious parents that are regardful of their responsibility and obligation to their children. We also have established as a staple here that is Almighty God, Allah, that is the first teacher to his human creation. And after their birth here on earth, he's given the honor and distinction to all the mothers to be the first teacher and leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. There's so many different ways in terms of actually defining that, but we can all agree that she provides the foundational knowledge not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And usually it's a tradition here, and of course, one of the best to recap what was on last week's production. Dr. Patricia Small-Dean is not here, and I'm not as adept in terms of overviews of what in regards to that. But I can say that last week's topic is in the archives. You can retrieve it in its entirety. And the topic was to realize and utilize opportunities, to actually teach our children. We call it, you know, teachable moments. And those opportunities always present themselves, but oftentimes as parents, we're not really prepared, you understand, to make those teachable moments in terms of realizing and utilizing those opportunities, whether they are expression of adversity or prosperity, the type of paradigm that our children should have. And we should be coming from an Islamic base, meaning the Quran, the life example of the Prophet in terms of Sahih Hadith, in terms of the Sunnah, his way, in terms of how he dealt with different life situations and all. This is so very, very important to be able to realize and utilize. And last week is a word, Tyler, just look at the word that ends in I-Z-E. It's a play on the word eyes, to have realize and to utilize, to have eyes of the utility in terms of human experiences and how they actually can and will benefit our children. These lifetime situations and circumstances, they provide us the opportunity to teach our children, not only for now, but also for the future, and to see to help develop a moral consciousness. This is so very important. So, you know, tonight, Rashid, you know, in terms of bringing it to the lab, question was asked in terms of the prelude that I give each and every weekend in regards to how it is that we actually define, you know, parenting and how we should really look at it from an Islamic perspective. So, Rashid, I thought that tonight that we would talk somewhat about that and then maybe even be able to get into how it is that we can reconstruct the family life. And, you know, when we hear about re in front of anything, it means to have to do over again, you know, repeat. those type of things, which also is an indication that the family life has been destroyed to a degree. There's some destruction that's there, but it has to be reconstructed in accordance with God's will and plan for the sacred institution of family life. And, you know, we want to begin with something from the Quran, as we say that is the source. And when God has said to us that he has created the human being in the best of mold. Okay, so we need to look at that, you know, as parents and as grandparents and, you know, as aunts and uncles, as mentors, regardless of, to whatever the relationship that we have to our children and to our family, nieces and nephews, or even community children. It is that why is it and how we should look at in creating the best of mold? What is it that distinguishes the human being from the rest of creation? And one of the things is that Allah has given to all human beings is the intellect. And Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that the most useful and beneficial thing that Allah created was the aql. The aql sometimes is translated as the human brain, but oftentimes as the intellect. And it is our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, that gave us this gold nugget, that Allah created the intellect for his natural creation, his natural world, for the universe. And he created the universe or the natural world or the natural creation for the intellect. And it is the natural creation that gives birth to the intellect. I hope that this is digestible for us. This may be the first time that we actually are hearing this. And from this natural creation, we also learn how to form human life, human society, human life. And it helps in terms of teaching us the formation for family life, which is the first social institution in human society. So when the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that all human beings are born in the fitra, the original nature, and sometimes that's also said as Muslim, you know, and Imam Muhammad also said as true human. Now, keep those in mind as we continue to talk about why parenting is so very important. But it was the Prophet that said, but it is their parenting and their environment. What environment? Social environment that makes this creation, this human creation, otherwise. In other words, otherwise in terms of what it was truly, genuinely created for, you see. And the recognition of the Creator in terms of its creation and its relationship to the Creator and the creation. I'm going to stop there, Rashid Salam. I know I said, quite a bit here, but how, you know, with parents actually understanding and being consciously regardful of that and consciously regardful of this human creation, we see that it is very, very valuable and that Allah has actually distinguished the human being by giving the human being something that he didn't give anything else in this natural creation, and to be able to have the appreciation in being able to benefit themselves, their family, community life, human society, and also, you know, given a role of responsibility for the creation itself in terms of the cultivation of it and all. I think this is something that we can say, alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah in terms of creating us to be in the best mold, and also that we have an obligation and responsibility to begin to teach our children how our creation is a special creation. And as I think in biblical scripture, we are seeing, or it's revealed, that we are the crown of creation. But knowing and understanding that and staying with that and raising our children to be all that they can be and realizing that potential that Allah has put in the human being, as we are the microcosm of the macrocosm of the whole of the natural creation, the universe, the natural world that Allah has created. So, Rashid Salam, you know, just based on this and opening up this communication on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, what would you like to interject at this point?
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hey, Mark, I'm telling you, the first thing, you forgot to say this one thing, how hard this was to be a parent. Whoa. I mean, when you
it's a big role of responsibility. Ooh, we haven't got to the prelude in terms of what the role of responsibility is in terms of nurturing and cultivating these various components that comprise the human being, you know, and to ensure in terms of health, being healthy in these vital components. We haven't gotten to that. So we're just really just looking at that role in terms of parenting, knowing and understanding what the Creator has created, you know, by word of revelation. You know, so Allah don't leave us wondering, you know, about our creation. You know, other people try to identify us, but it's only the one that has created us can truthfully give the truth and the reality of our creation and how it is that we ought to relate to the Creator and to the natural creation itself. Rashid?
Yes, sir. I tell you, man, I love the way you always open up with the first source. Our first source is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I look at, when you were speaking to me, I was thinking to myself, you know, we have to look at the Quran just like we look at our diet, our physical diet. That's our mental diet. Having that information from the Quran, the divine wisdom that takes us to the highest form of mental growth. But the most important thing, Mark, that the Quran does for us is help us define principles. You know, without principles, you know, I mean, it's difficult to achieve anything, you know, and principles basically are the blueprint or the guideline for humanity. And that diet, that Quran being the diet, it helps us, you know, reach that highest form of understanding, knowing that if you put bad things in, you're going to have bad results physically. Now, if you put bad things in, you're going to have the same result. You know, so the mind and the body kind of works hand in hand when it comes to what we take in and what we look at, allow the experiences, the images that take place in our life, because what the images are and the experiences that we go through basically make us who we are. So that first source is so important, you know, to take into consideration, because what we have to do after going through historical and generational psychology or trauma, whatever you want to call that word, we have one problem. We have to unlearn so we can relearn. So what was taught to us? What did we go through historically? What did we go through generationally? Who had the right information? We know nobody did, and that's why the Quran is so important. That is the diet for the mind.
That's very well said, Rashid Salam. And, you know, just to ducktail, camelback, veggie back on what it is you just said, one of the most important things, you know, in terms of our communication with our children in regards to the Quran is that Tawheed, you know, one God.
Yes.
One God, and that one God is the Creator of all that we see and all that we don't see, in terms of even establishing the right relationship. And that relationship is as servant to master. We're the servant. Allah is the master. So to actually validate the type of life that we have, Allah has given us the provisions to be able to freely choose, to be able to, a free will to make the choice, and to be able to reflect on Almighty God as the teacher. This is so very important for parents to actually know and realize themselves, because you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you don't go. And what I'm saying in regards to that, you have to know that Almighty God, Allah, is the teacher. He is the teacher. And he was the first teacher for the first of the human family, which is referred to as Adam. He taught Adam the name. He taught Adam the nature of all things. He taught Adam that. You see, this is so very important. And then, you know, as we look at the ascent of the human intellect, starting with Adam in the beginning, but also looking at the seventh level of that ascension in terms of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, in terms of where it had to go in terms of the maturity, the universal intellect. This is so very, very important, and coming to the conclusion that God is one. And this is where they said the rubber meets the road. Whereas that now I know I can dedicate and commit my whole self, my whole life. Like I said, Ibrahim, you know, he submitted his whole self, and which in terms of prayer, we look at Sajda, it is a sign of the human being committing or submitting his whole self to God in terms of servitude. You know, this may not seem so vitally important, but it is, because what if all of our parents knew this when they produced new life and the obligation to teach this new life that? How it was shaped, as you was talking about, in terms of diet, you know, in terms of healthy diet and all, to know that the life has to have the correct information to have the right formation for life. Other than that, it's deformation. And then we see the things that are happening in society today, and oftentimes many of our youth and young adults, they're in the mix in terms of that, because they never received that. They never received their true identity as to who they are, what they're supposed to be, and most importantly, they never knew God as God has revealed himself to us, and our relationship to Almighty God, Allah, as the creator, and our relationship with creation. In other words, other human beings, starting with your family, then with your neighbors, then with community life, then with the international community and all. I think, you know, Rashid, that this is so very, very important. And I know that we decided to step away from the outstanding resource that we've been using, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, you know, practical applications for various ages, to address this in terms of looking at the parenting and family reconstruction learning lab in terms of looking at it from an Islamic base. Rashid, you have any comments you'd like to make? Take yourself off of mute, or maybe you're on mute.
Yeah, you know, I'm always engineering your show every Wednesday. I'm so used to sitting here just learning and taking notes. You know?
Being a sponge, and, you know, not tonight, Rashid.
I come out of that bag and began to speak a little bit more. But, you know, it's this mental health thing, Mark, I think, really is the biggest problems that we have as Muslims, as Christians, and whomever else you consider themselves a human being, that we're so overwhelmed with so many vicissitudes of life, so overwhelmed with disinformation and misinformation, looking at television, taking this, letting this media take control of our minds. I'm just kind of get back to that mental diet a little bit. Where if we don't have that right frame of mind, if we do too much leisure, if we do too much of this or too much of that, we have a tendency to fail in handling and managing ourselves. And I think that's so important. We got away from the book so we can just get down and talk about the parasites that come into our disposition, the microbes that come into our disposition that affects our thinking process. And, you know, I just can't get away from that first source. I just can't get away from it because that is the tool to develop the humanity within us. If we don't use that tool, the consequences are detrimental. You know, you're talking about nutritional laws, you're talking about poor physical laws, you're talking about all the discomfort that comes from not knowing. You know, and you say, if you can't grow unless you know, you know, that old saying, you know, so we have to really take
I mean, knowing is a process of growing, but knowing the things that actually liberating to the human being, really setting the intellect free to be able to do that, because this is what the design was. This was the objectivity of giving this human being something very, very special so it could actually investigate, if you will, to observe this natural creation, because the whole of human society was extrapolated from the natural creation in terms of even establishing, you know, the human society and family life. And, you know, Allah reveals this in the Quran. We read it every Ramadan. Those who just read the Quran on the time of Ramadan, we should pause and reflect on this, because Allah has given us other examples of family life and how they work together, and we can learn from the natural creation, we can learn from the ant, we can learn from the bee, we can learn from the natural creation, from the birds, and all of this, you know, this helps to give formation to how it is that we're supposed to think, and we have to know that we have to nurture and cultivate not only the physical, because as you alluded to, we need to be physically healthy, but that's just one component, you know, Rashid, and to our regular listeners, that's one component. So you've got to have that physical aspect, because that's the vehicle that actually housed and carried those abstract things. But it, the physical aspect is a vehicle that is always obedient to the invisible. And this is why the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab has said that this becomes a big role, a big responsibility for other components that we have. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you've just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction and Learning Lab with Mark Shaheed and Rashid Salam, sitting in for Dr. Patricia Salam. We expect her back next week, inshallah, God willing. And we are actually talking about a question that was brought to bring it to the lab in terms of the prelude that I give each and every Wednesday here in terms of identifying parenting, correct parenting from an Islamic perspective, and also, inshallah, God willing, time permit, in terms of how this information from the sources that we give as a foundation, Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet and living the Quran, and the scholarly teaching of our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wafdi Muhammad. So this is what Rashid Salam and I are discussing tonight. And we would love to hear from you. And you can press 1 if you have a question or comment, that something he may say or I may say, or we would love to hear something that you might want to say. And so you have that opportunity. And if this information is resonating with you, we would like to hear from you. Those of you listening by way of the Internet, you have to call in 714-816-4100. 4673 and press 1. So, Rashid, I know that you understand that, you know, the human being is just not a flesh human being, just a physical human being, but the human being is also a moral human being, just like he has to be. Healthy as a physical human being, he has to be morally healthy, but he's also a rational human being. He's an emotional human being. He's an intellectual human being. He's a social human being. And yes, he is a spiritual human being. All of these vital components that comprise the human being, Rashid, have to be healthy, and we need healthy-minded parents that know and understand that, and they have to nurture the growth and development in these vital components to help our children to grow up, to be healthy human beings, and to produce those human beings that become even marriage material and to continue the sacred institution of family life. Rashid?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, you know, as you were speaking, I'm sitting here thinking about some of the events, some of the experiences and the effect that these have had on us as a community, as a generational people, which is multi-generational concept that we've gone through that truly affect our way of functioning, our personal lives or hampered with. To sit down and for instance, watch television, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day. You know, the average person in this country watches 38 hours of TV a week. And that's really a strange thing to have to say. When you start talking about only 168 hours in a week and you spend 38 hours watching some form of mechanism that's what we call artificial, what does it do to your thinking process? You know, what is our response to these events and these experiences that we have? We know that the images and experiences that we have a direct reflection on how we think and who we are as a person. So when I mentioned the word, we have to kind of unlearn a little bit. I mean, that means change things that we've done or that we thought we know and unlearn and give ourselves back to that only author who knows how to bring a human being into the world. And I tell my children today, I did a class today. I said, okay, mommy and daddy had an egg cell and sperm cell, and they brought you into existence. How did that two egg cells and sperm cells make you who you are today? And everybody just looked at me like, whoa, never thought about it like that. You know, and when we think about, we don't give enough time. We don't spend time with ourselves. We don't meditate. We don't just cut the TV off and go in a dark room and just think about the mercy that's been bestowed upon. I mean, it's amazing sometimes. I know when I had my first child, I was in the operating room, and people say, "Ah, oh, man, I fainted." I almost wanted to faint, too, because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. You know, it's like, wait a minute. Who did this? Who put them two eyes, two hands, two ears in the rightful places? Who put it all together like this? So this acute concept that we have where we don't understand, but we run from it by sounds. We run from it by listening to vibrations. Listen to these television shows. We just constantly running from the reality of who we are as a person. You know,
yes.
Only God can answer. You know, the crown is the only thing. Taking us back to the original nature, which you mentioned earlier, that is so important to go out and walk in the park sometime. If you can get to a beach, do that. You know, we don't spend time with ourselves, so how do we spend time with the universe? And, you know, we just don't think in terms. We see the top, we see the sun up there, the moon up there, wind blowing. We don't pay any attention to the mercy. You know,
yes.
We can't see.
Yes.
Try not to breathe and see what happens. I bet you believe in air then. You know, you know what I'm saying? So,
you know, Rashid, you know, you're making some very sharp points. You know, some very sharp points that, you know, the relationship with the creation. And the utilization of the intellect to take that in. And I think one of the sharp points that you're making here, not only do and can you extrapolate knowledge from this creation, as Imam Muhammad has said in terms of Alameen, when we say Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen, from the the natural creation itself, but the natural creation contains a body of knowledge. But also in addition to that, you know, Rashid, that, as you so eloquently articulated, it is mercy that comes along with that body of knowledge. It's mercy.
Right.
We've seen it so cold that we smile when we see the sun come out.
Yes.
You know, it has been so hot that we smile and we really appreciate a good breeze. It has been so dry, if we're working the land as a farmer in terms of agriculture and producing food, we are so elated when it's been so dry when rain comes. You know, so you know, Allah is merciful in that he gives us all of this that we need. And you're absolutely right when we're talking about parenting and teaching, a walk in nature is always good in terms of a teaching tool, you know, to use for teaching our children. And this gives them a greater appreciation of the realization that this just didn't happen by happenstance. There's a cause for what it is that we see in the natural creation, and we have to say to them that there's only one creator that has created these things that I'm showing you, but has created things that I can't see and you can't see. And you, like you articulated, try to live your life without air. You can't see it. But when you talk about food, water, and air, the most important thing that it is that we need in this life, you can't even see it, you see. And you began to start teaching this early on so that our young people, our children, began to have a reverence for God and also a love for God, because now there's a relationship, you see, and that relationship is that we are creation too, and we're supposed to give something too. You see, when we talk to our children in that way and talk about the natural creation, and it's a body of knowledge, and, of course, it's been put into science. You have your hard sciences in terms of what they call the physical science and all of these things, biology, chemistry, and, those type of sciences. But this also brought about what we call social science and, Imam Muhammad, or spiritual science. You know, as our children began to grow, they began to grow in what it is that they know, and the parents' role and responsibility in nurturing and cultivating this in them, the intellect, is putting them in those type of environments that would actually ultimately teach them and tell them, first and foremost, it is Almighty God, Allah, that is the teacher. And how he reaches us is through the natural creation. And as we grow more, he reaches us through revelation. This is an opportunity to point to the Quran. This is so very vitally important when we're looking at our role and responsibility in providing those things that are needed and necessary for the natural growth and development. As you so eloquently articulated in terms of TV time and social media time and all of this, this brings about the deformation of the human being and deforming the human being, not really informing Allah's human creation. Rashid, do we have any hands in the air? Please press 1 as we do have some time, about 14, 15 minutes left, and we'd like to hear from you. If anything that you've heard tonight, don't hesitate or deliberate. Press 1 if what you're hearing tonight, is this resonating with you? Does it make good sense to you that this is a big role, a big responsibility, not only of the mother but also the father, as it takes two to produce or reproduce human life? It also takes two in terms of establishing the human life as Almighty God would have it to be established in congruency with God's will and his plan for human life. Rashid,
yes,
any hands in the air? Press one.
We don't have any hands at this point, Mark, but as, you know, as you speaking up, it reminded me of duality. You know, the inner world and the outer world. And how the outer world basically is the source of instructions for your inner world. You know, and
that's a takbir, alhamdulillah. That's a good point.
Other worlds are part of our growth factors, are part of how we are, and that communication of being exposed to, and I think you said the magic word. What great conversations you can have with your children, talking about the inner world and the correlation and how they work together. If you don't figure that out, you live in a world of darkness. You live in a world of isolation.
Right.
And all the forms of it that this world provides, you won't even receive because you don't have that relationship. I mean, I can see so clearly how wild children are in the state that they're in because they have no relationship with the outside world. All they're functioning with is the emotions of their inner self. And that's deadly.
That's right.
That's true.
And you know something else, Rashid, you know, as you were speaking in regards to that, we should also point to the natural creation in terms of what it is that we see, do you see the sun fighting with the moon? Do you see the moon fighting with stars? Do you see that in the natural creation, or do you see peace there in the celestial bodies as they begin to grow and to know more about the universe and their other planets in this universe, in the natural creation? And the one that we say is Allah, the God, alcoholic, we should, one of the first of the known 99 known attributes, introducing that to our children, the Creator, you see. But we want to look at the creation and then want to see if there's chaos in the creation, or do we see peace and order in the creation. We see disorder in the creation. And then as they learn through the natural creation to see the beauty in creation. Why is this so important? Because we need to be able to say to our children as they are observing the natural creation, you know, and saying, yes, it is peaceful. There's no time that we can come out and look at the natural creation where we see chaos or we see disorder, you know, or we see ugly creation, you know. We see the beauty in creation, and Almighty God has equipped us with the intellect and the five faculties to be able to experience the creation and to appreciate the creation. You know, see, so that ayat, one of my favorite in the Quran, Surah 16, ayat 78, where Allah says, it is he who brought you forth from the wombs of your mother. Okay?
Yeah.
So you were speaking earlier, Rashid, in terms of being in the delivery room with your firstborn. So just know that Allah says, he's the one that brings you forth from the wombs of your mother, okay? So you've been there for a period of time, and there's certain things that have been clocked into you as new life, but there's things that's been clocked into the parent, and especially the mother, in carrying that life for maybe a period of 9 months. In that regard, the patience that's needed, the compassion that's needed, the consideration that's needed, all of those things that's needed for this new life, you see. And then God goes on to say in Surah 16, Ayah 78, it is he who brings you forth from the wombs of your mother when you knew nothing. So no child can come here. Nobody can make any claims. They come here knowing. Because the Bible says when you knew nothing. Why? Because you came out of darkness. He was speaking about darkness in scripture, scripture language. Darkness is ignorance. You don't know. But guess what Allah says? Now he says, it is he who gives you hearing, who gives you sight, who gives you intelligence, and also give you affection or sensitivity that you may give thanks or be appreciative. Now, this is so very important. It's that it's so important to let our children know that it is the one that has created all that they see that you were talking about in this big, big, big book. Because we have to let them know that this is the big book. And Allah is speaking in the big book. Everything in the creation is a word. It's a sign. It's an instructing sign. And Allah is speaking to us. But he's also speaking to us within ourselves. And also, they need to be reminded. We need to continuously tell them that he is the one that has given us the faculties to be able to take this in, to listen. Hearing is first, always, and then seeing, you know. So, and then to be intelligent, you know, intelligence is, and it's not like any other form of creation. Yeah, they have them on a scale. I remember that in school. I'm quite sure you do, too. But it's no intelligence like human intelligence. As a matter of fact, the breakdown of the word is IN, internal. Tele means communication, the internal communication. Gents means genes, the internal communication of the genes, which Allah gives to the baby. The baby don't have to go to nursing school. The baby don't have to go to scratching school. These are the internal communication of the genes to naturally do that. This is all of Allah's creation. Rashid, what you have to say, bro?
You got me back to that duality again. You know, what popped up in my mind when you started talking about the outer world was George Washington Carver and his relationship with plants. And the duality of plants, which is the outer life, has a complete and total effect on your inner life. Why is that? Because the plants are here to take all the impurities out of the universal order of things and provide for you as you exhale the poison from your system. It gives you back oxygen. So what a great conversation one can have in sharing that. So in the plant, there's a message. And when you talk about the big, the messages of the outer world comes through those five senses. And George Washington Carver was dead spot on when it came to the five senses. See, you want a relationship with God? You want to know who God is? Go out and look up in the sky. The microphone is right there. The microphone, you can have a conversation with him right now, an intelligent conversation, by the fact, and probably the most intelligent conversation you could ever have is communicating with the universal order thing. That's our creation. That's right. That's the big, and it took us right back to what? That ground is the diet for the mind. It really, truly is. You know?
Well, you know, I love that, and I love the fact that you mentioned about I think and feel like you do and maybe many others that have great respect for one of the world's greatest scientists who was God-conscious. We could even say that was a Muslim, you know, as Imam Muhammad said, the Muslim life is the conscious life, as he referred to the Creator as Mr. Creator. And he also said that there was nothing wrong with him mentally. He said that this creation spoke to him, you know, want to reduce him just down to the peanut scientist, but it took sweet potatoes in all before him. It was just being utilized for just eating, eating. But he was, as Imam Muhammad say, the scientist. Now we call the scientist. The scientist is one to see into this and everything. And Allah blessed him because of the pure intention that he had. He didn't go into it with the idea, this is going to make me rich. And
right.
You know the history as well as anybody. It was not his big interest to make money, big money, and on. He could have made a whole lot more. And then even the evidence when he transitioned, they found checks that he had deposited in cash, just to let you know. And he couldn't be bought because he realized as his relationship to the Creator was to be a servant and to be a good servant. And he didn't want to be praised or recognized like that. He was thankful and grateful to the Creator in terms of what was revealed to him, and a willing servant, ready and willing to share this became a benefit.
Raised.
Okay,
we,
and mercy,
have,
yes.
We do have
okay.
a hand raised.
Okay.
We have,
yes.
We have 918-814. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hi, guys.
Alaikum assalam. Who
this
are you and where are you calling from? We got about a couple of minutes, 2.5 minutes.
Yes,
yes ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling from Maryland, but this is, might take a while, but I really wanted to get some insight to you. I mean, everything you're saying, it sounds so beautiful, but when you walk into see a grandchild doing something ridiculous or, you know, just something that you just want to jump on and say, why are you doing that? Or you shouldn't do that. I mean, how do you intro into that? All the beautiful things that you're saying, it just makes me feel so beautiful. But then when you look at the child and the child's doing something crazy, how do you go into that? What do you say positive to keep and turn the show off? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you so much, and we'll give you the short version of that, because oftentimes our children are operating in darkness, as Rashid said earlier, darkness being in terms of ignorance. They don't know, and sometimes they don't know that they don't know, and sometimes parents might think that they know, and they're operating. You know, I had an uncle years ago, he's deceased now. My aunt is deceased also. But he said something as a child, and I always remember. He said, you know, if you beat a child half to death, I mean, he said, if you beat a child for everything that they do wrong, you would beat them to death. The objectivity is not to just beat a child or punish a child or even to holler at a child. It is to teach the child and to make sure that the child knows and understands. You know, Imam Muhammad said something very profound. He said, understanding is the home of the mind. One of the roles and responsibilities of us as parents, as grandparents, you know, as mentors, is to help our children to get home to understanding regardless of whatever it is. We should never, never assume that our child really knows. It becomes imperative that we actually teach them, you see, because they may be doing something that's very detrimental. They may even have a sense of a height and don't know that if you jump off of that, you could injure yourself permanently or you could kill yourself. And sometimes they're not even aware of danger. You know, that's why, you know, a hot stove, you know, you say, do not touch, hot, and they'll start, you know, mimicking you, hot. And sometimes you'll see them just want to put their hand to experience what hot is. You know, we might think it's grace, but we know it's hot, and we know we shouldn't touch it because we'll get burned. But this is, you know, these become teachable moments. It's a lot more I could say about that, but this becomes teachable moments, and this becomes role and responsibility of parents to teach our children. Never assume that they know. First, the question we have to ask, did I teach them? Or where did they learn what they're learning? And how much time do I spend with them? You know, the most valuable thing that we can give to our children, the most valuable commodity is time. We have to take time to be with them. And this is why we have the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And as the sister, we thank her for calling and said, these are beautiful things that's being taught. But oftentimes there are other influences that's coming into the lives of our children, whereas it has actually left a bigger impression than we have as parents. So that's the question that we have to ask us. How much time are we investing in and with our children? Rashid, we at the top of the hour here and want to give you 1 minute so we can make the transition to the MGM Roundtable. And we want to make sure that our radio listeners, we want you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We're going to be going to that if we take a pause for the call. So, Rashid, within a minute, what would you like to leave the radio listening audience with?
I just want to take advantage of the realize the opportunity to utilize that opportunity to begin to share with you. And just to add a little piece to what you, the answer that you gave the young lady, you have to look at the age of that particular child as well. And, you know, with 0, 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21, and realize
that's
right. That at those stages of that life, you have some difficulties. There's a learning experience. There's a shaping that has to take place. And as you said before, they don't even know that they don't know. So I just want to leave the audience with that.
That's true. You know, you have to look at the age and stage where they are. And we never assume that they know. You might want to assume that they don't know in terms of what it is that you see them doing. And so this becomes an excellent opportunity, becomes a teachable moment for you in regards to with them, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, aunt, uncle, or what, community member that is always interested in the growth and development of our children. So with that being said, we're getting ready to transition. Want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I want to thank Rashid Salam for always sharing his insight and wisdom, sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Keep her in your duas as she went to make Umrah and to visit her family. And we pray Allah that he blesses her with a safe return. We say Ameen to that. And we want you to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be coming up with the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. So we're going to take a pause for the calls, and we'll be right back. Rashid?
Have you ever felt have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? God is with you all the way, strengthening your heart and soul, guiding your brother, from birth to death. Sometimes you never get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brother, to save your very, very soul. Control. It's a struggle, brother.
am Mark Shaheed, the host and producer of the MGM Roundtable. And as I always like to begin each production with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbi Alameen, Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, sahaba alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worship except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed, the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience here. It is the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, and it becomes an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Those of you who tune in each and every Wednesday following the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that we have, you're familiar that we always like to invite those very distinguished and esteemed members of our community. That's the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also I have guests that are not in the community of Imam Muhammad and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less tonight, I'm so very, very honored to have one of our scholarly and very learned imams in the Association of Imam Muhammad, as he is a student of the Quran, a student of the life example of the Prophet living the Quran, and a student of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. So it's such a great honor to have him on the MGM Roundtable, a good brother and friend, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. Assalamu alaikum to you, brother Imam.
Mark, he hasn't called in yet. He needs a slight delay. And I just texted him to let him know that he's on the line. He should be on the line. So
okay. As soon as he calls in and everything, so this gives me an opportunity to talk a little bit about Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. Please let me know when he does call in. Okay. When I say he's a student of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, he's been privileged to actually have been taught by Imam W.D. Muhammad. In special class for 6-7 years each week that the Imam was in Chicago, he had his own students. Imam Muhammad took great pride in terms of teaching. And these were young people, very, very young people, youth, early on in age, in terms of teaching them Quranic studies and also leadership qualities. And not only that, in terms of what it is that Imam Muhammad was teaching in terms of his tafsir, clear explanation, but also the methodology in which the Imam used in terms of teaching the Quran and the life example of the Prophet. I would say that those of you who know Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman can attest to that. We even have invited the students that have been in the class the first 3 years of the Quranic Studies and Leadership class. Outstanding 3 years, it seemed to go by so fast as I was a student in that class. So much in terms of the benefit, the insight that Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman shared with us. And so this all he got from Imam W.D. Muhammad. And those of us who actually know that Imam Muhammad didn't have a teacher. He didn't have a teacher per se. Yeah, Professor Jamil Ziad, who was a teacher that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad got in terms of learning to read the Quran. He had that along with his brother Akbar Muhammad, Imam Darnell Kareem, and his wife Gloria Kareem, and I think it was another person that don't come to mind. But they were privileged to have this teacher in regards to that. And one of the things that was said when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked Professor Jamil in terms of both of his sons and the other members that he had given them the opportunity to learn the Quran in the Quranic Arabia was that Imam Darnell Kareem and also his brother Akbar, in terms of the recitation, the Taweed and all, that they were better in terms of doing that. He says, but old Wallace, he said, Wallace is so very, very insightful of that and to be able to articulate the reading of the Quran. This was a distinction that he had, and we know that Almighty God Allah blessed him with that insight to be able to extrapolate from the Quran many, many years of study. It was said to us by Imam Muhammad that he even studied Al-Fatiha for 25 years, you see. So even in the first year of the Quranic Studies and Institute, those who was in the first year of this institute, actually we had to study it for 4 months. And we know that the Al-Fatiha is only 7 verses, ayats. But there was so much that was connected to that in terms of how it opens up volumes and volumes of knowledge in the big book, the natural creation, the natural world, the universe itself, how it opened up, you know, in scripture before, the Old Testament known as the Torah, the New Testament, the Injil, how it opened up the Quran itself, the other 113 surahs or chapters of the Quran. All of these things was learned in the first year. Also, other surahs of the Quran. This is so very important. And how we should see these surahs and these ayats and how they actually connect. You know, so we hope to have Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman Rashid. Did we get a response back? Rashid?
Okay.
Salam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We
okay.
All right.
I'll try to get on through the link right now, inshallah.
Very good.
Oh, man, I can hear you. Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam.
He's on my line, Mark. What happened? He's signing in right now. He had sent a message that he was having problems getting home in time.
We ask you just be patient, you know, stick and stay, don't go away, because, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, he'll be starting up a new semester, which will be the 4th year, and I'm telling you that the courses that he will be offering is outstanding, is standing out. And you want to have an opportunity to join in and get this information. As I say, he's taught directly by Imam W.D. Muhammad. And that is really a privilege that I know he relished in that regard. And he doesn't deviate from how Imam Muhammad taught him and others in the class. And I know that Imam Muhammad actually inspired him, was inspirational and motivational for his Quranic Studies and Leadership Institute. This is a leadership institute that is really, really, really growing. It's designed to produce leaders, you know, with the tafsir, the clear explanation by our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wahdi Muhammad. Second year was narrations. You know, there are many narratives that's in the Quran. And if we're just reading the narrations without having an understanding, it becomes just like a story, insignificant, with no real purpose to it, or looking and reading the Quran as though it was a history, it's a history book. But there's so much and volumes of insight and wisdom that can be utilized. If it's realized, utilized for the practical application in human life. Allah does not waste words. And in the third year, terminology, you know, there are many, many words in the Quran. This is why when you're reading the Quran, it's so very important to have that goal to learn how to read it in the Quranic Arabia, in the language in which it was revealed. It's a challenge, but anything that's worthwhile is going to be a challenge. And as a word, knowledge is the word work. If it's worth obtaining real knowledge, it's going to be work. And this is how it is that we serve Allah and can serve Allah best in terms of wanting to work, you know. And as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, work is worship. We can be the best servants by also knowing what our relationship is to our Lord and Creator, and also what our relationship is to humanity. And we see that we see a lot of darkness. And what this Quran reveals and what Allah revealed to Imam W.D. Muhammad brings the light, the enlightenment that it is that all of us need. And so this is, I'm endorsing this program, but I'm telling you, it'll be the best investment that you ever made in your life, you know, because it's a liberating institute that helped to liberate all of us, but also to help us, to help others, help our family, help our community, help the international community, because now we see darkness is spread everywhere. And so we want the light to be on, and we want to be the best servant that we possibly can. So,
all right, Mark.
We
have Brother Imam on. Just have him press one on his phone, Mark. His mic is
okay,
already
press
on.
One, Brother Imam, and you'll light up, and Rashid will see you. My engineer will see you. We want to bring you on. And assalamu alaikum, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. How are you, sir?
I am fine, alhamdulillah, it's an honor to have you on once again to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, and you just gave me an opportunity to just give a little bit more prelude in terms of this outstanding institute that Allah has blessed you to become the founder of, and teacher, instructor of, in terms of Quranic Studies and Leadership Institute. And while we was waiting on you, I just kind of gave a little information in terms of the first 3 years, what it was that Allah blessed you to be able to give, and you being a student not only of the Quran, but the life example of the Prophet and living the Quran, but also a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and also highlighting that you had the privilege of being taught by Imam Muhammad directly, say direct and correctly too, in that regard, and myself and others have actually benefited from those 3 years, as we just finished up the third year in terminology, first year in terms of surah, and getting the insight of surahs, and the time that we spent on Al-Fatiha in all, and in other sources of the Quran, and then the narrations, and just not being narrations or stories, or like this was something in the past, a history, but it also conveys a real, real message, as Allah does not word. So we are honored to have you. And so first and foremost, Brother Imam, and in terms of your institute, the Quranic Studies and Leadership Institute, even when you think about how you named it and everything, I know that Imam Muhammad was inspiration and motivation. Talk about that, if you will, for just a few minutes, if you will, and then we want to get into why I have you here in terms of the upcoming curriculum. As I've already said, yeah. This is an outstanding curriculum, and this will be a great. Yes, sir. Once again, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I really appreciate that, Brother Mark. Peace to you and everyone in the audience. Assalamu alaikum. I want to start. I want to really apologize because I had a little bit of a miscommunication go on, but alhamdulillah, mm-hmm. we were able to get, have a brother, a couple brothers that I'm with. But I'm actually going to switch from where I'm speaking in a moment. But to your question, so the Institute, we started it, this will be our fourth year doing it the way we have been doing. In other words, kind of formal classes on the schedule. I started with these courses a little bit before. I had a group that I was working with, and I had a couple individuals. Hold on for 1 second, Brother Mark. Forgive me.
Okay. Okay. So while we're waiting for Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, those who just tuned in late, we want you to know that you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where your host is Mark Shaheed, and our special guest, one of our very scholarly learned imams, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, who is the founder of the Quranic Studies and Leadership Institute. It's an institute that he has been blessed by Allah to be a founder on, but also the inspiration by his leader and teacher, Imam Warfi Muhammad. So we appreciate him coming on. Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I had to switch to when I got in my car, the phone switched to the car. But yes, so essentially what we wanted to do was to establish an institute of Islamic knowledge in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the listeners and many people in the community in general, I'm sure, are familiar with the efforts that Imam Muhammad made over the years to provide Islamic education in the community. So one of the latest examples of that was, as you mentioned, the Mosque Cares sponsored Dawah classes that I was a part of. And during that same time, Imam Muhammad even had a delegation of students study in Damascus, Syria, under the late Grand Mufti Ahmed Kuftaro. My particular experience studying under Imam Muhammad, almost from the beginning, I had a desire to do several things. And I guess I could sum it up in the words of just, I saw the need for us to really have our own school. What I mean like a school of thought. So mm-hmm. Imam Muhammad addressed this, and he said that in his opinion, what he had been blessed to achieve as a teacher, he had mm-hmm. already started a school of thought. His language, his teachings, his commentary on Quran, it represents a new school of thought. I mean, he said that. And my position, based upon other things that he had said, was that our work as his students, just like all schools of thought, to be perfectly honest with you, they have just been advanced by the students of whoever that major teacher was. For
yes.
us, we know who our teacher is, so it's our job to sort of advance the school. Step one is to have an official school curriculum, a methodology that mm-hmm. lays out sort of, I guess I would say, in a systematic fashion, the study of this religion,
but particularly from the perspective, or at least upon the basis of how Imam Muhammad taught the religion. And that's something that I was able to discover or become familiar with because of my experience in the classes. So, you know, I'm familiar with Imam Muhammad as a lecturer, like a public lecturer or in other settings. But we were also fortunate enough to just be in Imam Muhammad's presence as he would go through the Quran verse by verse, or he may go through issues in the Bible. He may discuss different topics in Islamic knowledge. And also, before we were there when Imam Muhammad, sometimes he would just read with us. He would go over our reading, our recitation. And then the times that he didn't, Imam Darnell Kareem would always be our teacher first. We would do grammar and recitation first, and then Imam Muhammad would come. He'll go over a little reading, then he'll do tafsir, and then he would do comparative religion, where he was mainly, it was still tafsir, but he was commenting on the Bible from the Quranic viewpoint more than anything. So
yes.
Right there, there's a blueprint, there's a method, you know, recitation, grammar, Islamic studies, comparative religion. Like, that's literally, like Imam Muhammad, one time he actually asked, he said, what do we study here? And the answer was given, Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, comparative religion. That's what we covered. So
yes.
My position was always, if we established an institution among us, it should cover those things more in depth. Obviously, you know, we were meeting, start off twice a week, then once a week for several hours. You can't cover, it wasn't a full-time school per se.
Yes.
Particularly, I'm speaking with the Arabic part. What Imam gave was more than enough, you know. But if we have an institute, it should follow that pattern. We were starting out just like the companions of the Prophet. The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, he received revelation, he would recite it. The companions would write it down. They would study it, reflect upon it. So, you know, we come to class, recite. We look at the grammar. Imam comes. He gives us commentary in these two major areas. So over the years, our plan was always to build out the institute upon that pattern. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessing has been blessing us to be successful in that regard. This past year was our second year doing recitation, but it was only advertised to people who had already signed up for one of our programs.
Yes.
And then alongside the recitation, as you mentioned, we did surah study, narration study, terminology study. That was like the 3-year progression.
Yes.
Now we are introducing several more components to the coursework. One major component that we're introducing is Bible study. We are officially going to begin the study of the Bible, but from the perspective of the Quran. So, again, Imam, and this is kind of, I would say, a unique contribution. If we look at just scholarship, a unique contribution of Imam Muhammad was that he really put before us the understanding, and he proved it. He didn't just assert it. He proved it that the Bible, that the Quran is commentary on the Bible, that every major issue that we have in the Quran can be tied back to some issue in Scripture that came before. So we did the Quranic study, but we want to add that, and that doesn't complete our program, but that kind of completes the bones. We've been like just putting together the bones, right, you know, for these first few years.
Yes. So, that's like putting, you know, the Quran, you know, Allah, you know, gives us that formation in terms of you got to have some meat on the bones and then some skin on the meat and all that has significance. And these are some of the things with such a radio listening audience that we've learned in the class and really and began to thinking with the Quran as Imam Muhammad gave to his students and Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman being one in terms of that. And I think that methodology, Brother Imam, is the methodology that is so very, very beneficial and needed for our community.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brother Imam, what I'd like for you to do now, and want to say to our radio listening audience, I want to give Imam Rashad Abdul-Rahman the opportunity, as everything in our community is constantly evolving, and this institute is constantly evolving. Courses are being offered, and you want to get in on these courses, and I think it's so very, very reasonable in terms of what's going to be offered, when it's going to be offered, and everything. So, Brother Imam, please articulate that to our radio listening audience across the country, or what, how they can get in on these courses, what's being offered, and when it's going to be offered. Brother Imam,
okay.
Rashad.
Yes, sir. So let me, first what we have this year, we're continuing. So for the first time, we are openly advertising our Quran recitation program.
Mm-hmm.
And to sum it up, persons who graduate from this program, they will get I'm just going to put it in our, like, kind of Western language, they'll get a degree in Quranic recitation. But this is not just us using that language. This is a certification that's recognized anywhere in the Muslim world. So that's what we and it's not just a certification of a completion. The person, it's a certification that this person is qualified themselves, he or she, to teach. And this is just sort of the way it's done among the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Like how we give out degrees, they give out ijazah. And so that's what we have. And then we have, I've morphed the Quran study program into just a full tafsir program. That's being offered too. So in that also, there's an ijazah connected to that. Again, this is not just me. This is an ijazah that has acknowledged credit to anywhere in the Muslim world.
Yes.
And then we have the Bible study class, and then we have a class that strictly focuses on the language of Imam Muhammad directly. So we will just be studying lecture after lecture as much as we can do. Inshallah, we can do about 20. That's what I have as I have it written up this year.
Yes.
Lectures of Imam Muhammad. So those are the four courses. Now, the way it's structured, there's a cost associated with the classes. The cost for the Quranic Arabic portion is one thing. All of the other three courses are another thing. So this is the first time we've done this. And you've heard me, Brother Mark, over the years. My thing is I really want to make the program as affordable as possible. However,
yes,
it's a program that has to be built out. So we have two teachers on staff. We want to bring on more. So in order to do that, we have to pay them if we're going to really build an institution. So I want to make this extremely clear. These are not just like Sunday classes that you come to and it's a charge. No, we are actually establishing an Institute of Islamic Knowledge. We actually started off wanting to be in a brick-and-mortar building, but COVID hit, so we went digital. We started using Zoom. Zoom wasn't even that popular at the time, but COVID actually made Zoom get very popular because everyone
else did,
you know. So those are the four. So we used to do $100 per course. This year, you remember, we deduced it. One group of classes was $85, one was $50, one was $75. This year, the recitation classes are $99 or $100 basically with taxes a month, and the other three, Quranic study, Bible study, Imam Muhammad study, all of those are $99 a month. The other thing that we do have a scholarship option, and I've shared this with the class again, Brother Mark. You're familiar with this. My personal goal is to make everything paid for. So no matter how many teachers I bring on, I want to be able to pay those teachers and the students not incur a cost. We're not there yet. Where we are right now, I do have the support of some business persons. And we are able to offer some, a good amount of partial scholarships. So it'll be $50
yes.
a month. Eventually, inshallah, next year we'll be able to do all partial scholarships, half. And then again, my prayer is, again, God willing, in the next couple of years, we want to have it just completely paid for, because I have several teachers lined up. So for the Imam Muhammad study, I do have one of our students who has been with us. Man, this has to be, I don't know even, I think he's 20 now, but he's been with us since he's 17. He's going to be sharing, co-teaching the Imam Muhammad class portion, just the introductory part. And then my wife, who has her certification in recitation, she's one of our teachers, and I may share in some of that with her. So that's basically the general structure. Classes are Saturday and Sunday. We started off, for the past few years, we've basically been doing classes every day. For the first time, we're moving everything to the weekend from 6 to 10. Saturday.
And that's in the morning, a.m. you all. Somebody
left. Yes, sir. Easter time. And the reason for that is because we kind of reduce classes to 2 hours a week, which is a lot. It's a lot to go over. And with 2 hours a week, what we were actually doing, we were meeting every day. So we figured if we could bunch everything into one particular slot, time slot, that would give the whole week for people to study, to do other things, and they have their whole weekend. So we wake up for Fajr anyway. You know, we get up for prayer. So and our tradition, the tradition of our prophet, is to study after prayer. So, like, for example, my wife's recitation class, they meet every day. Well, I would say Monday through Thursday. They've been meeting at 6 o'clock anyway. That was their schedule for this whole year. So, but it was only a half hour. So we're compressing them together into just the 2 hours. So from 6 to 8, Saturday, Quranic Arabic, Quranic recitation. From 8 to 10, Tafsir. Sunday, two classes will run simultaneously. The Arabic beginners, those who are entering into Quranic Quran recitation, again, that's Sunday from 6 to 8, that's the new group. But I'll be doing the Bible study class from 6 to 8 as well. And then, from 8 to 10 on Sunday, I'll be doing the Imam Muhammad language course. So that way you have your weekends, you can still go to Talim, you can still, whatever your interest is for the weekend. So that's the general structure. Next year, we already have it lined up. We are positioning ourselves now. We're going to be offering grammar. We're going to be offering what's called the Qiraat, for our recitation program, it's one standard style. But there are actually 10 styles in total that are recognized amongst Muslims. And we're going to be offering those, inshallah, next year. Myself and my wife is completing certification, and we have another teacher, from our community who's certified. We're going to bring them on board, inshallah. We have a couple other people that we're working with for the recitation. They're going to become teachers as well. So that, the Tafsir Ijazah, and then also I am currently completing a Hadith Ijazah too, because like Imam Muhammad said in one meeting, he said we need to compile a book on the Hadith, a critique of the Hadith. So, you know, when Imam said these things, I took them as directives. I would encourage everyone, if ijazah is a foreign term, just think of degree. That's all it's saying. A degree in this, a degree in that. That's all it's saying. And the nature of the degree is such that it teaches you what's the methodology. How were the hadith compiled? What are the grades of the hadith? What makes the hadith a different this grade as opposed to that grade? How can we effectively analyze them? Now, in terms of commentary on the hadith, in terms of our commentary on the Quran, we're sticking with Imam Muhammad. In terms of the science, how was the Quran compiled, the abrogated verses, the Meccan and Medinan period, the research, that's the ijazah part. In terms of the actual tafsir line by line, we're teaching from Imam Muhammad's book, basically. That's what I mean. Book, I mean his tafsir in total, his language. That's our basis. So you're getting two things. You're getting the knowledge that you would get of Quranic study and Hadith study that you would get when you go to a university in the Muslim world, and you're getting Imam Muhammad's direct tafsir. So after that, this is my last point. After I complete these ijazas, I'm going, inshallah, my plan is to re-enroll into college, because I'm going to, inshallah, want to get a degree in religious studies, like a divinity degree. That's for the purpose of us becoming accredited in the West. So with these ijazas, that makes you accredited from an Islamic perspective. But to be accredited in the West, accredited in America, you have to have people on your staff and your board who actually have graduate degrees. So that's sort of the next transition that myself and the others that are working with me, we're going to be taking. So God willing, we want to, just like, you know, we had the Muslims Teachers College, Imam Fahim Shuaib shared with me one time, Imam Muhammad wanted to start a school called the Institute for the Advanced Study of Bible and Quran. So we know time and time again, Imam Muhammad expressed this need, and we know that he made efforts to teach students or send students somewhere. We're finally in a position to do that work and lay some ground foundation for our future generations to pick up what we're doing and advance it in that light, to produce leaders for our community and leaders for our country, really, for the United States of America, let alone for our community.
Yes, sir. That's, wow, that's a lot, Imam Rashad. Just even in terms of Bible study, looking at the Bible through the lenses of the Quran, that's a course in and of itself. And also, I'm thinking a component in terms of comparative religion, and this is going to be an ongoing thing, and it's an ongoing thing. It's not like it's going to end after the 1 year. It's an ongoing thing, so you need to go ahead and get and enroll. Brother Imam, let's be a little clear here. The $100 that you pay, with the exception of Quranic recitation classes and everything, those other three that's being offered, would that be inclusive? I mean, if in fact that somebody decides that they want to enroll in the institute, and given the time frames that you say that it would be given on Sunday morning early and Saturday morning, those courses running from 6 a.m. in the morning. So after you get up, it's 5 to 5, just stay up, you know. In regards to that, we have to also be conscious that, you know, we have the Eastern Standard Time, and this is all predicated on Eastern Standard Time. So you got to change that in your mind, because I'm in the Central Standard Time, so it's 5 o'clock. That's give time to make the slot to Fajr and be ready for the class. And then, but we got our community there on the West Coast, so that would wind up being 3 a.m. for them. Going from 3 a.m. to it'd be 7 a.m. and Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. to 10, and for those that live in the same time zone, myself from 5 to 9, these seem like to be workable times. It'll be a real sacrifice for the ones on the West Coast, but anything that's of importance, you'll find a way or make a way to get into the class, and that leaves you with the whole of the rest of your day, weekend, to do whatever it is that you are wanting to do. And as Imam Rashad have said, the whole week can be devoted to study, you can fit that into your schedule. So, Brother Imam, are we talking about the $100 entitling you to what? And what? I mean, can you just, you know, give one more time so our radio listening audience will know what it is that they will be entitled to and everything. And then I want to also say, before Imam Rashad answers that question, this is your opportunity to press one. And I know that I have invited some students on, and hopefully that information got out to them, especially those students that have been in this institute for 3 years, 2 years, or maybe this year was your first year, you know, in terms of a testament to the information, the education that you actually get in this institute and how valuable, how much you have actually benefited from it. And, you know, that saying that you love for your brother and your sister what you love for yourself, most certainly I feel compelled, and I'm using my words very carefully, I feel compelled to help to promote the good. As Imam Muhammad said, we always want to promote the good in this community, and this is what Imam Muhammad envision and you really want, and this is what it is that we should really want. So, Brother Imam, please, you know, make sure that it's so very, very clear as to what the Institute will be offering in coming September and how much it would actually cost and what it is that they will actually get.
Yes. So, fee, tuition fee, is $100 for the Tafsir, Bible study, Imam Muhammad study. Those three classes come under that one cost.
Now, let me intervene, Brother Imam. So in other words, those three courses, not classes, but three courses, because they'll continue to run, and everything. And also, I think it would be important to say that how you have it structured, you know, as a student in the class, you'd be 3 months to do it, then you have a month off, then you have 3 months and a month off in terms of actually doing it. So it's a course, whereas that each month you pay $100, and there are three courses that you actually could take, $100 a month, which is an excellent deal. I would almost say it's a steal, but it's a real good deal for actually all the information you'll be getting. Now, in terms of the Quranic recitation, what are we doing here?
Now, that's separate, and that's $100 for Quranic recitation.
Okay. Recitation, yes.
Yes.
And
so those
that would,
are the two...
Those are the two. And then once again, when will they be offered? Saturday, Sunday, if you could just, you know, succinctly let them know, because as they may be deciding in their mind, this is what I want to take or this is what I want to take, which courses will be offered on Saturday morning? Let's start with that.
Saturday from 6 to 8 will be...
Mm-hmm.
Quranic recitation.
Okay.
Tajweed, basically. From 8 to 10 will be Tafsir of Quran.
Tafsir of Quran. Okay. Didn't you say that also on Saturday this would be for beginners?
No. So Saturday will be for the people who are at level 2.
Level 2.
So that's either for people who have all, like if they were already in level 1 last year, who are already in the program, or if you all have just had experience reading and you know how to read, you can test in. It doesn't have to be through our program. If you're just at that level, then that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And then,
so that would, for the advanced, a little bit more advanced, that would be Saturday from 6 to 8, correct?
Right. So if you are able to pick up the Quran and read it, and you're not, you know, it's not really choppy, you don't need a lot of breaks, you can just kind of read it. Doesn't have to be perfect, but if you can pick it up and just read it in sort of a basic way, then I would then that class is good for you. Now, Sunday, so that's all, just those two on Saturday. Sunday, we have three classes.
Okay.
Six, 6 to 8 is another Arabic. That's for the beginners. If you, you know,
okay,
you want to learn
that's
the
beginners.
Alphabet.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Alphabets, mm-hmm. putting the words together, and you're going to build up to the point where you're able to read the Quran
mm-hmm.
with tajweed. So that's basic.
Okay.
That's Sunday, pardon me, from 6 to 8.
Okay.
And then there's another class, however, that's going on at the same time from 6 to 8. That's
okay.
Bible study.
Okay.
That's the Bible study. And then the third class from 8 to 10 is the study in the language of Imam Muhammad, where we'll just be studying his lectures directly.
Okay.
From 8 to 10. Now,
mm-hmm.
so what I recommend, because I have in persons who've been with us, they want to do more than one. Everyone has to know this. Whatever you sign up for, whatever class you say you want to be in, you still
mm-hmm.
have access to the others. You don't have to attend them all because, again, somebody may just not want to sit there for 4 hours. So that's a real thing, too. You know, I don't like sitting nowhere. So what I would do, I'm recommending for everyone, like all of you all who've been in year one, two, and three, that group
mm-hmm.
that's been with us longest, I would right away say Bible study would be the best option for you. Because you've been through the Quranic part, and if someone hasn't studied the Quran, I don't think it's the best choice for them to jump right into the Bible. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I get the attraction. I know a lot of us come from Christianity. We're in a Christian society, and I do believe that there's there's something with us. We want to kind of know, like, okay, what's this all about? I get it. So if you want to do that, that's fine. You can take whatever you want to. This is my personal recommendation.
Yes.
But if you did maybe year one or if you're just starting out, I would say at least do 1 year of Quran before you get into other things. I think everybody should take Imam Muhammad. That's like just standard.
Oh, yeah.
That's just standard. So, and then, of course, recitation. I think everyone should do that. But take the one that you know you'll be committed to.
Absolutely.
If you say, I want to do all four, I don't care, then that's fine. But I'm talking about now. I'm not talking about for, like, what you register for, per se. I'm talking about attendance.
Yes.
Try to attend the one that you know you're going to be consistent with, and
mm-hmm.
you still have access to the others. You have access to the recordings all year. So you can take them all. You don't have to be present for all of them. We are
mm-hmm.
going to give out tests. Like for the Ijaza specifically, we're going to do a test to kind of prove or to show or establish a level of proficiency in that knowledge. So if you want that Ijaza, you take the test. If you want that degree, take that test. But,
and Brother Imam, let me say this, that you also, you correct me if I'm incorrect, for the Ijaza, especially for Quranic recitation, it's so very important that you actually be there, because it's going to be at times whereas the teacher instructor is going to have to listen to you in terms
right.
of where you
yes.
are, corrections, and all of this. Am I correct?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I forgot to mention that. That's actually a really good point. I'm glad you said that. Quranic recitation is really the nature of it. Your teacher has to hear you.
Yes.
There has to be like direct correct. Like I do classes outside of the institute. Some of the students who do more advanced study. So I did a Quran class today, and I'm sitting with the person, and they're reading, and I'm making direct corrections as they're
mm-hmm.
making to improve the reading. So that sort of you have to have that.
That's not something that you want to go back on the recordings as Imam Rashad, you know, articulated. That's something that you really want to really be present to really benefit from that particular course. The other three, as he said, you know, you sign up for, and of course, Imam Rashad always stressed to us as students, is not so much in terms of the money, but actually being there and actually benefiting from these classes, from these courses and everything, and utilizing them, you know, implementing them in your life family life, community life, and actually, as this is titled, in terms of Quranic studies and leadership, and we want to have the leadership coming from the directors of Imam W.D. Muhammad and all. We have a big role and responsibility, and these courses will actually help us be able to help others. You can't help others until you can help yourself. So I just wanted to just say that in terms of endorsement, you can't go wrong. It will be one of the best investments that you made in yourself. You made in yourself, and you made in your family, and you made in your community, and on and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to go to Rashid Salam. Rashid, are there any hands in there? Please press 1. You have a question or comment that you like to ask, and I know there should be some students as on. At least I requested some of the students to come on and everything. This is your time. Press 1 to come into the queue.
Okay.
Rashid Salam?
Yes, sir. We do have a hand raised.
You have a hand raised,
We have 510-517.
We got an echo there.
Put yourself on mute, please.
If I need to put myself on mute.
All right, Mark. There's no open lines at this point.
Hope, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Brother Imam, we had 510 on, but we lost him and all. So, Brother Imam, if you could, with the time that we do have, and we still have quite a bit of grace period of time, if you could talk to us why these courses are so very important to us as a community, and if you could share the vision that Imam Muhammad had for his community, it's more important. And this is not just something oftentimes some people have in their head, this is for imams, this is not something for me. The obligation that we have in this religion of Al-Islam, the obligation in terms that we have to learn this for ourselves, you know, just before you came on, there's a production that we have called Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and it's so vitally important for even parents to have this knowledge, this insight, so that they can begin to teach and educate their children in this religion, and to dismiss the misnomers that have come, you know, from elsewhere, in terms it's not so important for the woman to know, but you know, this religion. But she, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the first teacher for all of his human creation, after that baby is born, he is given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and leader, not only for our baby girls, but our baby boys. Brother Imam, could you give us some insight in regards to that, how important it is for all of us, and it's an obligation that it is that we have, and the best of you is the one, as the Prophet has said, who learns the Quran and then teach it? Brother Imam?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Really good question. I will start where you just left off. I mean, the best of you is khayrukum. So that word khayr, it really has reference to the idea of use, utility, usefulness, resourcefulness. So the most resourceful of you is the one who studies the Quran and teaches it to others. We know Imam Muhammad, the popular statement of his, education is our number one priority.
Yes.
And our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, he said that not only is education
Your voice faded, Brother Imam. You need to get closer to the mic. Okay, we can hear you now. Yes, better.
So not only did the prophet say that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, male and female, he also said that one learned believer is harder on the devil than 1,000 ignorant worshipers. So the emphasis on knowledge is very strong in Islam. And even in the scripture that came before, one of the prophets of the Old Testament, he really is like a statement. He's lamenting. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Religious knowledge that was given to the Jews, religious knowledge that's given to us as Muslims, it is given to us to empower us to do the work of establishing our life on this earth as God willed our life to be established. We, as a unique community, we were not a people. We were Bible people. We came through the nation of Islam, but we didn't have established scriptural wisdom that made us or put us in the competition with the best minds and planners of this world. Imam Muhammad was blessed with the pure insight. God gave this to him into the Quran, into the prophet's life, and gave us everything we need to establish ourselves as servants of God on this earth, as a people. So knowledge is the necessary tool. Correct knowledge in al-Islam, correct knowledge of our scripture is sciences. That is the means by which we have the keys now to open the whole world up to us. So to the degree then that we are, first and foremost, the degree to which we are obedient to God, and secondly, to the degree that we embrace and devote ourselves to research, study, reflection, and also dispensing, like sharing the knowledge that God has blessed us with of this religion. To that degree, to the degree that we'll do that, we'll be successful. We'll be successful in, but in every area, cultural expression, industry, etc. And we know this. We live in America. Some of the most successful business institutions, I'm talking about banking, investment funds, they're actually ran by rabbis. We know about Hollywood. We know the presence of religious language in Hollywood. So I'm using that just as examples to say when we tend to think of religion and religious knowledge, don't think of a preacher. Don't think of someone giving the khutbah as imam. That's one thing. Religious knowledge, correct religious knowledge, touches upon every aspect of life in society. And the people who are highest in religious knowledge, they are also the highest people in government, in industry, in culture, in science. That's what it does. And so Imam Muhammad, on one occasion, he said, you know, people ask the question, what are we supposed to do with all of this? He said, I'll tell you what the world has done. They've given you physics, chemistry, medicine, biology. You know, he went in that direction. So I don't want to be too I have to just be clear. The answer of our people, our people who came here as slaves, who were made slaves in America, the prayer of our people to have their life in their hands once again, it has been answered. This experience that we have been a part of, or that we are a part of, it's the answer to the need in the soul of all of our people. Nothing can stand us up in dignity. Nothing can stand us up in equal respect and in contribution to the world stage like Al-Islam. But specifically, I'm saying Al-Islam, as God blessed us to understand Al-Islam through Imam Muhammad's tafsir. So
yes.
this brings me back, you know, why am I saying it like that? Because we have Muslims all over the world, but they don't have the dignity. They don't have the human establishment that we would want for our life. We don't see that with them. They're lacking in that, to be honest. So we see ourselves as coming into possession of that. So that's the value. So this is for imams and teachers, yes. For people who just want to know more about the religion, yes. Is it for mothers? Is it for business people? It's for, and we have everybody. We've had people work all imams, young, old, everybody. That's what we want.
Yes. Yes, so this is for for everybody. And let me say this: years and years ago, I was blessed to be in the company of the imams of when the late senator of Illinois, Paul Salmon, called the religious leaders together in a Q&A session for 2 days, and he asked a question to all the religious leaders in the country. The question, what is the greatest enemy to humanity? And all of those leaders was giving long answers. Presbyterian minister, he took about 10 minutes to answer that question. The last one was our beloved leading teacher, Imam Worthy Muhammad. He answered the question in one sentence. He said, the greatest enemy to humanity always has been and still is ignorance. And he didn't say any more. He didn't say any more. And those who are students of Imam Muhammad know that he could take very few words but say a whole lot in that in just listening to Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman in terms of putting great emphasis on how important education being our number one priority. That is what eradicates and eliminates the ignorance, the darkness that people are living their lives in today. And so it's incumbent that we as Muslims, all of us, you understand, see this as an obligation that we should undertake in terms of getting this enlightenment, but just not getting it for ourselves, but sharing it. Not only with family, community, but the international world of humanity. I just wanted to say that, Brother Imam, that's so very important. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Rashid Salam, there's a hand in the air or what?
No, we don't have any hands in the air right now, Mark.
Okay. So, Rashid, you got a question?
Hey,
I can feel some vibes here.
No. I don't need no questions behind this. I'm getting this knowledge, man. Wait a minute. We do have we got that one hand back in the air again. You want me to try?
Okay. Well, let's see if we got.
Let's see if we got.
Okay.
Okay.
510-517.
510-517.
The mic is open.
Mic is open.
Thank you, Brother Rashid. This is the Brother Nazim Pasha, Raleigh, North Carolina. I was intently listening in, and all of that really, as a student in the institution, it really resonated with me. And I just wanted to point out for me, and hopefully people will see the benefit once I share what it's doing for me, then those who are like me will want to come and step up and get the same benefit. And it simply is that Islam on its own, I mean, an introductory course on Islam and learning the Arabic and learning the rituals and changing your diet and all that. That's very impressive. But if you really look at the world today, we don't need to be impressed. We need to be empowered. And that's what I see the difference with Imam Rahman's class. It empowers you because you get, like you said, the Islamic knowledge, but you get it in a way that it gives you the proper perspective that it becomes an Islamic education, which means now you can do battle with Satan in a way that you couldn't do before, because you got the provisions and you got the protection. which is you've got a purified heart and soul. You simply are there to do what you can do to further humanity down the road. This kind of conversation that I'm having on this kind of presentation to you all is 2 years of being in the class. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're hearing. And so rather than try to impress you, like I said before, with what I'm getting, I challenge you to come on board and see if you can get the results that you're looking for yourself so that you can begin to learn this religion, because it's a godsend, and then you can lead others to what you have and share what you have so that they can begin to do the same thing. So it's like each one, reach one. So I'll stop there because, I mean, I'm not here trying to talk about what I can do. I'm talking about what I've gotten being in the class, and I'm just sharing with you all that I'm excited for the new class that's starting, and I'm inviting others to jump on board and see if they can get the results that they've been looking for.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you, sir. Imam Rashad, any comments you'd like to make in regards to Imam Pasha coming on?
Yeah.
We have another hand raised.
Okay, well, we'll get Imam Rashad Rahman. He would like to respond, and then we go to the next call. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Brother Nazim. He's one of our consistent supporters. He was a guest. He was in town last week, I believe. So, alhamdulillah, I really just appreciate his words and his spirit and his contribution. You know, we do – I really prefer a classroom where there's discussion taking place, there's exchange. And he's definitely one of those persons who he – that's one of the things that he brings in a very helpful way that – really enriches all of us. So I thank him. I thank him for his word.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, okay then. Rashid, we got another caller with their hand up.
Yes, sir. We have 773-449. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Mira, Brother Rashad. I know you remember me. I was a friend of your mother, Sister Brenda. And I was in a class with you all, Imam Muhammad, early on. But I just want to say that I'm impressed and I'm empowered. And inshallah, I intend to be in two of those classes. Thank you, brother. And I'm so happy to see that the time spent with Imam Muhammad, that you spent with him from a youth on, that Allah has blessed you, with, you know, to be where you are now and empowering others. Assalamu alaikum.
This is me. I pray everything is going well. It's good to hear from you. Those are memories there, Sister Mira. Oh man, that goes back. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Mira, yes, thank you so much for tapping in. You know, brother, ma'am, this is press one as you go out, Mira. You know, this is a big community, but yet it is a small community. You brought it to believers that knew you back when.
Oh, man, tell me about it. Yeah, I remember her. And, you know, her son. He has my name, you know.
Rashad.
That's right.
So that's a good thing, and it's good, you know, when our elders, our seniors, pioneers in the community can attest to when they knew you back when, and then they see how you have grown and evolved. You know, brother, ma'am, that's why it's so important, you know, in terms of the environment that we are in, the language environment. Imam Muhammad put a great deal of importance on that, you know. The language and all, how words really do make and shape people. And as you well know, I'm not saying anything that you don't know, but to the radio listening audience, the best words to shape and make us to inform us or give a formation to the life, the human life that Allah has created us, is His word of revelation. That shapes and forms us as human beings. It shapes every facet of the human life, as we talk about on the learning labs and all. But we need to really realize to be able to see that. Other than that, there's a word that's shaping and forming us. And if it's not the word of revelation revealing to us who we are, you know, what our relationship is to the Creator and to creation and all, we may be getting the wrong word, Brother Imam, and it's bringing about deformation instead of a correct formation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely. I agree. Oppressive, one of the things Imam Qasim used to say, he quoted Imam Muhammad, that we live in an oppressive language environment.
Yeah.
And I think that the as Imam Muhammad put it to us, the language environment that would liberate us is the language environment given to us from the Quran. And I really see that as the power of Imam Muhammad's language. He was blessed by God to really translate the insight of the Quran and give it to us in a way that So he formed a language that really delivered us directly to the purity of the language of the Quran. And it really liberates us from this world, and it frees us to do the work of establishing a new world, to just put it bluntly, to do the work of establishing a new world, a world of righteousness. So I thank Allah for this experience.
Yes, sir. Well, we want to thank you, Imam Rashad. And before we depart, I want you to give out any information, website, a radio listening audience, you know, for this upcoming semester, where they can go and get all the information, where they can actually register, sign up, and all. And one last time, in terms of those courses that's being offered and everything, and any parting remarks that you'd like to leave with the IWDM radio listening audience, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. Well, alhamdulillah, again, I want to thank you, Brother Mark, for extending to me this opportunity to join and share with the community what we're doing. For those who are interested, you can reach out to us at QuranStudyAndLeadership@gmail.com. That's QuranStudyAndLeadership@gmail.com. You can also take a look at our courses and sign up. You can request information there. You can sign up via www.QSANDL.com. That's QSANDL.com. And again, that's end of the month.
Yes, sir. And the means to be able to pay, different means in terms of doing that. Also, is that information available on the website and all?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, it's on the website. The classes begin in September. They'll be beginning the second week of September, the second weekend, I should say. I'll be out of the country for that first weekend. Inshallah, I'll be part of a delegation representing our community. We're going to be in Israel. So we're getting back that Sunday. But the following Sunday, I believe, is the 9th. That's when the classes will officially begin.
So, while I got you, you know, I got to ask you the question in terms of being part of the delegation there in Israel. The objective for that particular delegation and trip representing the community, Imam WD Muhammad, Imam Rashad?
Yes, sir. Well, the objective is really to continue the work of our leader. We know Imam Muhammad was, again, not just a Muslim American leader, but he was a part of the global religious leadership and recognized as such. And he left with us sort of the objective to maintain our presence on the, at the seat of the, as he called it, the table in the sky. We have a seat there. And we have an obligation to make a contribution to these discussions regarding the occurrences of, on the world. So the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the leaders from these different faith communities, they have a presence throughout the earth in every area, politics, again, culture, business. And these entities, these aspects of society today, they're being informed by, they're open to being informed by religious leadership. But the Hindus, they need to be connected to the Muslims to be able to speak to their own and to know how to navigate in the world in light of the knowledge that they get from in interaction with the Muslims. The Christians need to know the Muslims. The Muslims need to know the Jews. The Jews need to know the Christians. So this meeting in the sky that has been going on for some time now is necessary so that all representatives of the faith communities of the world become better acquainted with one another, let one another know who they are, and we come back home to inform our community about the happenings on the world stage. So Imam Muhammad opened that door for us. So this is just an effort in continuation with that. We'll be meeting with rabbis from Israel, South Africa, discussing the topic of, I forget all the topics. One of them is about how do we deal with crisis from our respective religious traditions, and there's several other topics, and we'll be going around to major sites of Jerusalem and the holy places as really their guests. So I've been on a trip like this before. Several years ago, we were guests of the Moroccan government and the Minister of Endowments there. So this is another one. It's a different group, but it's the same. It's from our community, representing our community and its interests. So inshallah, when I come back, I'll have a report to share. You know, maybe I'll come back. If you have me, I can come back and share it on the
route. Yes, most definitely. You know, we always want to be informed here, and this is why this entity has been established. It is established to keep our community well informed in terms of the happenings in the community, the progress that we're making in the community, and really those persons that naysayers say we're not doing anything in the community or what to inform them. And many of our seniors, as you well know, that may not be computer savvy, so to speak, they can tune in to IWDM radio and get this type of information in regards to what it is happening in our community. So most certainly you have an open invitation here on IWDM radio and the MGM Roundtable. We love to hear from you, and maybe some of the others that actually part of the delegation can come on and, you know, disseminate the information, also maybe ask questions in regards to this upcoming trip. So we want to make dua for the delegation, and that it be a beneficial trip and all, and that you'll come back and share with the community. I want to thank you again, Imam Rashad Abdul-Rahman. It's always an honor to have you on, and we pray, Allah, that the information that you disseminated tonight will be a benefit to all that listen. Don't be on the fence. Make an investment in yourself. You know, we want to have, you know, when we make investments, you know, when we make monetary investments, we're looking for a return. And it's the same thing in terms of that we have to invest, you know, we have to spend out of that which God has blessed us with. How important this is in terms of the formation of the type of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. And we can't really truly derive all the benefits without being enlightened. here, and we are special people. So let's do this because it's a big role, responsibility, and obligation that we have. As God has said before in the past, the last shall be first. And I don't think that anybody can actually say that we haven't been last, but we have a big role and responsibility. Thank you so much, Brother Imam.
And
we look forward to seeing you in the upcoming semester in the class. You know I'm going to be enrolling, and I'm going to be working in this arena to get others to enroll, even at Al-Mu'minun, and just tell them, you know, that this will be one of the best investments they made in themselves and their family. Thank you so much, and we'll be looking forward to getting you back after your trip to Israel and others.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
There you have it as we complete tonight's broadcast here on the MGM Roundtable. We want to say we want to thank our radio listening audience tonight, because without you, there wouldn't be an IWDM radio, and you wouldn't be able to have productions like we had in the first hour of the Parenting, Family, Reconstruction, and Learning Lab. A special thanks go to my dear brother and good friend, Rashid Salam, who is an engineer extraordinaire and sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaudin. We want to make dua for her. That her Umrah was a successful Umrah, that she had time to spend with her daughter and son-in-law, and also that she have a safe trip back to the continental USA. To that we say, I mean. And we want you to know that the beat goes on here on IDM Radio. As tomorrow is the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting, Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. That's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Ann Shakir from the Jewels of the South. That's the ATL. That's where Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. We have a lot of stars there in Atlanta. He joins truly Mark Shaheed. And we'll have another dynamic marriage couple that's been married 55 years. One of our very learned pioneer imams in the Association of Imam Warthi Muhammad. That would be Imam Yusuf Salim, Imam Yusuf and his wife Maryam Salim out of the nation's capital. So you want to tune in for that 55 years. And I just want to just drop a little something on you. This marriage was arranged marriage. You hear me? Arranged marriage. 55 years. You don't want to miss this marriage narrative. And we'll be on in the True Love Recipe. It'll be I. And it'll be dealing with integrity. It'll be dealing with intimacy. It'll be dealing with intelligence. And it'll be also dealing with imaginativeness. And so we want to get your insight. We'll be questioning them and their insight on what we call APCOR. And that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time here on IWDM Radio. And Friday is Salatu Jumu'ah Day worldwide. Those who are mobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Sunday, the longest-running production on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again, with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that begins each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week, you just heard his voice just a few minutes ago. He's one of the students in the Quranic Studies and Leadership Institute, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. And this is a very, very, I think, informational, educational production. He hosts a production called ABC. That stands for Al-Islam Based Conversation. Special conversation coming up this Monday. You don't want to miss that. It begins each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al-Islam-based conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha. Make sure you invite a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or a community member to tune in. And it's going to be a conversation, one that you won't forget. And we like to really see not your face in the place, but we like to hear your voice. And you'll be able to disseminate information and also insight from your perspective on this special topic. So we ask that you do tune in. And Tuesday, once again, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, as you just heard him tonight in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. He has his own very, very productive production here on IWDM Radio with his returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, where you got to bring your pen and pad, a lot of great information and education to disseminate each and every Tuesday night. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it tonight in the first hour, Wednesday, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slow, Dean out of Miami, Florida. Joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and also Rashid Salam, whenever, every first Wednesday, whenever she's gone and away, we know that Rashid Salam is here. And so each and every Wednesday, it starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And last but not least, you just heard it live tonight, the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. As each and every Wednesday, I'd like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed members of our community, the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that begins each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I think we're on the verge of getting some PSAs made because it really wears my voice out. But we want you to know that there are other productions. And last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal. And we also support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful that will be held in Newark, New Jersey. So we say don't be late, don't hesitate, don't deliberate, and most certainly don't procrastinate. Begin to register for this year, 2023, Time to Be Grateful, and we'll be looking at having some representatives later on this month back again all the way up until December the 7th through the 10th, the Time to Be Grateful. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. So until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of. Covered all over, from head to toe. Dressed by God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew, oh, covered all over. Wrapped in God's love, covered all over. A woman truly worthy of, covered all over. From head to toe, dressed by God above. Who could ask for anything more out of all the women?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Like,